Your heart beats faster and faster.
What terrified me will terrify others, and I need only describe the specter which had haunted my midnight pillow. Mary Shelley, everybody, this is the Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show.
Oh, that's right, Paranormal Broadcasting, where I was so busy watching the Tonys, I almost forgot we had a show tonight.
Hey, gang, we are live in studio once again, and we'll be in the GD chat room all night long.
And you can log into that chat room by going to our website at www.ghostanddemon.com.
.com, and of course, this is the Ghostman, Sean B.
And that would make me Nathan S., a.k.a. the Demon Hunter.
I don't know where I'm supposed to be right now. Oh, of course, this is the Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show, June 7th broadcast.
The Ghostman Demon Hunter Show is independently produced by Nathan Coonover and Sean Burris, and it's broadcast live on Omnisound, Absurd Radio, and Planet Paranormal Radio, and is recorded for Planet Paranormal Radio, the Black Vault Radio Network, and the Para X Radio Network.
Yeah, are you done? Is that it?
That's it.
Okay, guys, bear with me. Tonight's guest, we head back to the haunted swamps on the bayou. We'll be We'll be speaking with the Cajun lady and medium, Maylene Lennoux, author of The Spirits of Louisiana. Tonight, we find out what the dead have to say down on the bayou, only on your G&D show.
And the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show is beyond the normal broadcast. And it starts. Let's hope the new music works right now.
Are you heathens and hooligans? You won't get the hell out of here. Follow someone else for a while now, brother. I can use a beer. Don't need you and I don't need this. I want to make this perfectly clear. Listen up, heathens and hooligans. You want to get the hell out of here. Yeah, you heathens and hooligans.
And now, the original Bad Boys of Paranormal. And your host for tonight's show, Ghostman and Demon Hunter.
Yeah.
Welcome back, everybody around the world. Thanks for joining us on what's sure to be another great episode of the Ghostman Demon Hunter Show.
Oh, yes. Yes.
I got that in there. I didn't do it the last couple broadcasts, man. I didn't get that in there, but I did this time, so I feel good. All our listeners, UK, around the world. We get a lot of listeners from the UK, man.
We do, and you know, but this week, our international listener of the week. Last week it was Paris, France. This week it is Beijing, China.
Did you say Paris pants?
No.
Paris Hilton?
No. You're not getting into Paris's pants, Sean. It was Paris, France last week. This week it's Beijing, China. That's right.
Beijing.
We're huge in China. That's because we're taller than most of them. But
that's right.
we are back. And want to say thanks to our friends in Beijing, China. They tipped the scales with the most downloads this week. But, Sean, you know, we got to say, first
Absolutely.
Week, we're starting off the show with our buddy, Jason Gowan, in the third chair with us at the beginning of the show.
Jason Gowan!
Hello, everybody. How are you doing tonight?
Oh, Jason, you sound like that alligator from the old Hanna-Barbera cartoons.
Say, yeah, I'm an alligator.
I want to be a dentist. Of course, I don't know everybody. I don't know who gets that. It's an inside thing, everybody. It's an inside thing. Anyway.
It's the Charlie in the box from Rudolph. He says, no one wants to play with Charlie in the box.
Oh, my God, I'm tipping my hat, and I am taking a bow right now to the Chinese listeners out there. We thank you. Thank you so much. And we hope you enjoy the Ghostman Demon Hunter show.
Somebody has to, Sean. Somebody has to.
Right, they still do. But we got people in the chat room said Normandy still loves us.
Oh, yeah. Yay.
Apparently Normandy's
we're loved
big.
In Normandy. Yay! I honestly mean that. It's not like the scene from, what was that, Wayne's World, where they're like, oh, we're in Delaware. Yay, Delaware. No, we do love Normandy. We do.
Well, see, here in the Ghost Man.
Because Sean is always wearing that Viking hat.
Well, you know, that and they appreciate his legs since he walks around with no pants on all the time. So, the machine works.
The battery's dead in the fart machine, guys. This is all you're getting. That's all I got. That's all I got.
He had to get it in early in case the batteries went completely during the night.
I had to. I keep switching between on and off for it won't die out, you know. But that's what happens here in the studios, guys. You just don't have time to change the batteries on the old fart machine. The fart machine's been here since the beginning of time, Demon Hunter. We should probably do a whole episode on the fart machine.
Wasn't it originally, there was it was the bell originally.
Yeah.
And the fart machine came on later on. But speaking of batteries, Sean, I know I had a different tip of the week lined up this week. But since you brought up batteries, let's throw a tip of the week out there that has to do with batteries. Now we all
ladies around the world, make sure you listen to this.
Wait. That. There we go.
The comments of Sean Burrs do not represent those of Ghostman and Demon Hunter or their affiliates.
It feels good to have it back. But tip of the week, Sean. We all know to change our batteries, make sure that we have new batteries in our equipment when we go out on an investigation. But how often do we check our batteries in between investigations? That's right.
Every day.
Well, that's because I'm talking about our equipment for the investigation, Sean, not the equipment you keep in your room for pleasurable reasons.
Jason Gowan.
Yes. But you got to remember to change those batteries. If you're not using the equipment that sounds bad. If you're not using your equipment. If you're not using your paranormal investigative equipment, be sure and take the batteries out before you go on in between investigations so that you do not have battery. Well, this is going to sound bad, too. So you do not have battery leakage.
Battery leakage. See, there's a lot of things out there that cause leakage. I never heard of that.
Oh, Sean.
Oh, wow. He went there.
He did.
I did, Jason.
I thought I was going to get away without having to bleep any more shows out. I don't know. I just wanted to remind everybody about that because one of our listeners sent in a tip of the week saying that they lost I believe it was a night vision scope.
They had leakage.
Sean, please. Never mind, folks. If you're listening to this on podcast and you wonder why there was a great big silence bit there, it's because I just cut that whole section out.
No, you did. Come on.
It does happen. You bring your equipment home. If you're like me, it has a case, and you put it in the case, and then then the next thing you know, boom, you take it out to use it, and you've got battery leakage all over the inside of your equipment. Oh,
that's
I'm
bad.
Just digging my own grave here.
Nothing worse than opening your equipment and finding leakage.
I know. It's all over the place. They got diapers for that stuff, guys.
But this way you know that...
Wow.
That your equipment will work the next time you need it. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show, where we just make it up as we go along.
Oh, yeah. So anyway, these paranormal cats are out in the field. Apparently, it's a big thing for battery leakage. Let's expand on that.
Let's not. We don't need our leakage to expand, Sean.
Yeah.
Nathan, let me ask you something. What do you recommend in case of leakage?
I recommend replacing your equipment completely, Gowan. If that doesn't work, see a doctor. Everybody still there? Everything went silent on me.
I don't know. It went quiet off quick.
Well, I actually just checked myself for liquid. Seems everything seems to be fine. So.
I checked my. Yeah, I was gonna say Nathan probably Gallon checked his pants for leakage, and there was no battery leakage.
No, so. I was checking my equipment, Sean. That's what we're talking about. Equipment.
Right. I have some pretty strong equipment I use in the field, guys. I use it every time. It's grown over the last 15 minutes. But
speaking of how Sean uses his equipment. More than he should. How's that baby coming along, Sean? It's,
Little Addie, guys, she's going to be here any day. If I have to cut off early on this show, the Demon Hunter and Jay Gow, Little Gowie, he will be filling in for me if I got to run to the hospital any time, guys. So there you go.
It's getting that close, is it?
It is. It's at our door. It's like 14 days away. Natural childbirth, so it can be any time.
So now, let me ask you, did your equipment have any leakage about 9 months ago that brought all this apart?
That's why we're talking about the baby coming up right now. I mean, you know, it happens, guys. It happens. But we're talking about paranormal stuff. We're a serious broadcast, everybody.
That's right. We're serious. Sure we are. But anyway, I want to thank Terry for sending us that tip of the week. It definitely led to more fun conversation than the other one I was going to talk about, Sean. So.
What was the other one you were going to talk about?
The other one, we're going to save that one for another week when we need a tip of the week.
Oh, we're going to save it, huh? So I got to go straight to the news, the paranormal news this week, right?
That's right. Let's give us some news of the paranormal and the weird, Sean Burris.
I don't know if Gowie can take it. Gowie, can you take it?
I think I can handle it.
Okay. Me, Jason, Nathan, we scour the universe, guys, to bring you these stories each week. Top of the line, top shelf, paranormal investigating. That's what we do. This one comes out of the UK. It says, Swindon mom blames ghost for daughter's truancy. You guys ready for this?
Okay. Are you ready?
Okay.
I'm ready.
A single mom, or mom in the U.S., who appeared in court over her children's... Huh? You guys ruined my story. What happened?
It was just feedback there, Sean. You're good.
Okay. A single mom who appeared in court over her children's truancy blamed their absence from class on poltergeist. The 29-year-old claimed paranormal activity meant she was reportedly unable to take her 8-year-old daughter and 6-year-old son to school. She said her council-owned home in Sweden, Wilts, that's somewhere in the UK, guys, don't ask me where, was overrun with ghosts that kept her children awake at night and disturbed her morning routine. Swindon Magistrates Court heard that she had even hired priests and mediums to exorcise the property. The woman, who cannot be named for legal reasons, was given a 6-month supervision and ordered to pay $300 cost after admitting the offenses. Simon Emisley, prosecutor, said the offenses took place between January and March last year. Sabrine Arif, defending, said that she had raised the paranormal activities with the school and was hoping to move. He added, she was trying to make her children go to school, but she accepts responsibility. Chairman of the bench, Felicity Beard, told her, this is, as you know, very serious. It's very important children go to school for all sorts of reasons, guys. So there you go right there, Demon Hunter. Right in the UK, you got a story coming out. This chick is haunted by poltergeist activity, and she can't get her kids to school because of them.
Now, see, I really wish I had had that excuse in the book they give you of excuses that you can use to get out of school when I was young. Because I tried, you know, the flu... You know, putting the bar of soap under ivory soap underneath my arm so that my temperature would go up.
Oh yeah.
Holding the thermometer up to the light bulb. My mother was a little suspicious when I had a temperature of like 213. It just didn't work. Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's what you get. That's what you get. You're trying to play hooky. That's what we call playing hooky.
The guys ate my homework.
See?
Actually, I had to go into school once and tell the teacher that my goat ate my homework. That wasn't easy. It was,
Your goat or your ghost?
My goat. My goat.
Your goat.
I had
There's
my...
a whole bunch of, comedy spiffs that I could do off that right there.
Honestly, I was getting ready for school. I had my homework folded up and in my back pocket, and I was walking down, and all of a sudden I feel this tug at my back, and I turn around, and one of the goats had my homework in its mouth and was eating my homework. I brought in the half-eaten homework with goat slobber still on it, crying to my teacher, and yet she still did not believe me.
Well, you know what, guys? Sometimes those first dates can be really hard. You know what I mean? Anyway, we got another story, guys. Comes off of catchannel.com. If you don't believe me, Nathan, and Gowan, go check it out for yourself, guys. Chinese cat grows wings. 4-inch growth sprouted on tomcat's back. A woman in China has a cat that grew a pair of 4-inch wings. The woman known only as Granny Feng, F-E-N-G, said she thinks the growths give her cat an angel-like appearance. Granny Feng said the wings began to sprout after the cat was approached by a female feline wanting to mate. A month ago, many female cats in heat came to harass him, and then the wings started to grow. The woman told the Haxing News, at first they were just two bumps. But they started to grow quickly, and after a month, they were two wings, she told the newspaper. The wings contain bone, according to Chinese experts. The unusual growths are the result of a genetic mutation and should have no significant bearing on the cat's life. So there you go, guys. I know we talked about this a couple months back about the cat with wings, but this is true. If you don't believe us, go Google it yourselves. Chinese cat grows wings. Check that out, guys. It's
now,
happening.
I didn't know they were getting cats in China from the Chernobyl pet store. So,
well, apparently that's what's happening. It's going down.
So technically that's Chinese food. Is that then? Is that then food that delivers?
I think so.
No,
I think
but
it delivers itself.
But now you have to really be careful when you go in and order your buffalo wings at the Chinese restaurant.
Right.
Oh, our fans in China, the numbers just dropped.
I just got to say something real quick, guys. Of course, the fattest cat in the world right now. Everybody's asking for your prayers. It says your prayers can save the world's fattest cat. Tragically, Fatty, the world's fattest cat, is at death's door. He now tips the scales at an outstanding 97 pounds, and his veterinarian says the massive Moggy won't survive much longer at his current weight, but the religious leaders, and including the Pope, say your prayers could save him. Fatty's always been huge, of course, says owner John Maluski, but for some reason, over the last few months, he gained an extra 20 pounds. I have no idea why. We haven't been feeding him any differently. The full-figured feline vet Dr. Marcus Moore says it could simply be a matter of age. Just like humans and cats get older, their metabolism slows down, he explains. Fatty is 11 now, which is pretty much the start of old age for cats. It's not surprising if he's lost what little ability he has. little ability his body had to burn calories in the first place. Whatever the cause, fans the world over are horrified that the world's fattest cat may soon pass on. Religious leaders are urging the public to stay calm and pray, guys. So right there, Ghostman Demon Hunter Show, we're urging the people listen to our show to band together, pray together, save the world's fattest cat tonight.
I don't know,
guys.
Sean. I don't know if I can pray for the world's fattest cat. I'm having trouble buying food at this point since I've been out of work for so long. I don't know if I can pray for somebody who overfeeds their cat.
Right. Well, Mookie is more important than you. It's got the attention of the Pope. So
this
you
is
know.
True. So it's
amazing if he dies, you can always ask for the leftovers.
Does he have wings?
That's true.
So
he don't have wings. He don't have wings. The other cat in China has wings, but he don't. Apparently, he's too fat to get off the ground. I don't know.
Oh, Sean, Sean. Yep. So, let me, I have to relight my cigar tonight. I am smoking a Partagas 1845 cigar tonight that I got at Butthead's Tobacco Emporium. Just gotta relight it here. I was so involved there, I lost that.
Buttheads!
All good, there we go.
What's going on?
Welcome to the Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show first half hour, Jason Gowen.
Hey, Gowie, I know you and Nate, you guys always, everybody wants to talk about funerals, right? Who likes it? Nobody likes going into a funeral. You got the body laid out in the box, right? You got flowers all around them. So anyway, this cat from Tennessee, I'm going to tell you this story real quick. Drive-through funeral home for mourners on the run. You guys ready for this?
Give it a try.
Are you guys ready? Yeah, it's a drive-through funeral home. It says, roll by, take a quick peek at the dearly departed, then hit the road. Undertakers insist they show no disrespect to the dead by adopting the same approach that worked for fast food, restaurants, and banks. Elderly and disabled folks have problems getting out of their cars and going to the funeral home. Andrew Gardner, owner of the Nashville, Tennessee, of course, Gardner Memorial Chapel, told Weekly World News last week, I thought it was time to do something so they can view their loved ones, too. Now they don't have to leave their cars. They can just drive through. Back in the 1996, the family-owned business became one of the first funeral homes in the country to install a drive-through. The motorist-friendly move has been a hit, not only with impatient clock-watching mourners, but also with many people who simply get the heebie-jeebies from creepy-looking casket-packed funeral homes. Now, a lot of people aren't, huh?
Sean, Ghost Chaser in the chat room wants to know if she can get her funeral supersized.
Well, I think we can work that out, guys. So a lot of people aren't comfortable with the coming into a funeral home, Gardner explains. The 6x6 foot glass window is at the left side of the chapel. On the go, mourners pull into a driveway, circle the building, and pull up to the window. The open casket is displayed at eye level to seated driver so that motorists in mourning can get a close-up and personal view of the corpse, guys. People just have to get accustomed to the idea, Gardner says. I believe when they do, the drive-thru will be used more often. So there you go, guys. If you die in Tennessee, we can just drive through and check you out.
Now,
it's happening.
Now, how does that work? I've been to a lot of funerals, and I mean, I've been to a lot of funerals over the years, and, how does that work with people, like, signing the book? You know, you walk in, you sign the book, you get the little card when you come through, when that has the person's name and prayer on it. I mean, do you have a typical funeral when you have a drive-in?
Maybe they swipe their credit card or something and registers their name. I don't know.
I thought the whole point of a viewing was to be there for the family, though. The family of the deceased.
Hey, listen, Demon Hunter, are you trying to get in the way of progress or what? Huh? This is progress.
Natural evolution of the funeral.
That's right. See? It's
that's the way it happens.
I like my funerals the old-fashioned way. I like to walk in.
If I die and you guys let me be laid out in a box, I'm going to haunt every one of you. I want an Irish party happening when I'm dead. I want to be...
Oh, believe me, Sean, we're going to throw a party when you're dead. But...
I believe that. I do believe that. It'd be Jason Gowen be leading the party. So that's...
I will hold a streak of your town square in your honor.
There you go. Circle City, Indianapolis, Indiana, baby. Jason Gowen going to be nude as soon as I die. I don't know when that's going to happen, but, you know.
Jason Gowen running through, people going, is he Jewish? He looks Jewish.
And you know what? You know what, guys? Jason, Demon Hunter, I was going to talk about this. I brought up this story off of ghosttheory.com, and it says, when bad reality TV mixes with possible haunting. And I can't go too much into it because I didn't understand a lot of it, guys, but it's called Extra Normal. Extra Normal. It's one word, and apparently it's Hispanic. They were over in Mexico or whatever. This is a huge TV show over in Mexico, And you can go to YouTube right now and you can try to check out these things. Apparently, they were doing this half-hour TV show where they went into places, they checked things out. People said it was terrible. They played terrible music. Everything was going on. But if you check it out right now, they say there was an episode where things start flying, EVP starts happening, all this stuff starts going on, guys. It's called Extra Normal. That's the name of the show, Extra Normal. It's a Hispanic reality TV show that deals with the paranormal. And apparently they got in over their head. But I tried to check it out on YouTube, guys. I couldn't understand. They don't speak into English, you know what I mean? So I couldn't understand. I couldn't get the one that, but maybe our listeners could if they go in there and check it out. YouTube, guys, Extra Normal.
Extra Normal. It's, I don't know, Sean. I think we can all pretty much figure what's going to happen when paranormal and TV come together. We're gonna get a first-hand seat for that one.
I was going to say, they haven't seen bad paranormal reality TV yet. You know what I'm saying?
Give us a chance to put it together first, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But, hey, guys, we got to take a quick break. When we come back, we will have our guest this evening.
Absolutely. Do I need to read the guest?
Yeah, that's usually your job.
Well, you know what, Demon Hunter? It's funny because I threw that in the trash.
Okay, that would be Maline Lennox, author of Spirits of Louisiana. We'll be talking to the medium Maline Lennox right after this.
Right after this, guys, we go ghost hunting down on the bayou. Stay tuned.
We'll be right back.
Are you looking for your favorite paranormal podcast? Well, come and visit us at planetparanormal.com. We are your guide to the other side. Come and check out our hub to see all our latest podcasts from your favorite paranormal celebrities. And don't forget to check out our news feeds to see what's late great in the paranormal community, as well as events coming to a town near you. Come visit us on the web at www.planetparanormal.com. That's www.planetparanormal.com.
The Darker Side of the Moon is an alternative talk variety show.
DarkerSideRadio.com.
Since 2006, host Becky Ray and Laura Moon speak with independent filmmakers, authors, musicians, artists, and many, many more.
DarkerSideRadio.com.
Sometimes serious, mostly fun, the show has a little for everyone. Was it odd, freaky, and you didn't hear it on the 5 o'clock news? Then we'll probably cover it here.
DarkerSideRadio.com.
Darker Side currently airs live Monday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, which is 7 p.m. Central and 5 p.m. Pacific.
DarkerSideRadio.com.
If you happen to miss it, you can listen to show archives at any time online at DarkerSideRadio.com, or you may subscribe to the show on iTunes.
DarkerSideRadio.com.
Hey, this is Nathan S. of the Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show. When we needed a logo that would tell people what we were all about but was different from anything else out there, we went right to Loki Graphics at LokiGraphicsInc.com. We love the artwork that owner and illustrator Jonathan Sullivan came up with so much, we ordered our t-shirts and banners from Loki Graphics right away. They provided us with high-quality graphic art, screen printing, and helped us pick out the best value for our t-shirts and other products that fit our budget. LokiGraphicsInc.com is the official graphic designer and screen printer for the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show. Phone, email, and postal orders are all accepted, with contact information available on their website. Shipping is available for any order, or if you're local, you can stop by the shop and pick up your finished product. Check out Loki Graphics at LokiGraphicsInc.com and tell them the Ghostman and Demon Hunter sent you.
I'm Tim Yancey, inviting you to explore the fascinating realm of the paranormal. Ghosts and hauntings, Bigfoot, UFOs, and alien abductions. Join me live every Sunday evening at 9 p.m. with the foremost authorities and experts in the world regarding the mysterious realm of the unexplained. The Encounters Paranormal Radio Series, as heard on WBZT 1230 AM. EncountersBroadcasting.com.
Hi, this is Stacey Horn, author of Unbelievable, and you're listening to The Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show.
All you heathens and hooligans, come on and get the hell out of here.
our intro now?
That's our intro now. Yeah, that's the bumper music.
All right, that's good bumper music. I like it because he makes reference to beer, which is good. It makes the world go round. It's healthy. It's a healthy source of vitamins for everybody.
Well, that's actually Heathens and Hooligans by Soul Dog. You can check them out at guitarviking.com. Guitarviking.com.
I like Vikings.
And I think it's on our Friends and Events pages. It's a banner that says the Reverend or the Reverend guitarviking.com. So, check it out.
Well, do you know who we have as guest tonight, Demon Hunter? You know who it is, right?
You know what? Since I had to read the name before, Sean, yeah, I know. It's. But I want to make sure I'm saying the name right, making sure that I'm saying it properly since, you know, it sounds French. Yeah, it sounds like a French name, and I'm not always good.
Oui, Maline, oui, oui.
Maline Lennox, is that correct?
Maline
Lanou. Lanou. See?
Maline Lanou.
I should have listened to Chrissy P. She had it right. I was like, no, it's got an X in it. What is it? You know,
that's not French, baby. That's Cajun.
Cajun?
Cajun, baby. Cajun. That's how I introduced you tonight, is our very own Cajun lady and medium on the show tonight.
Witch queen of New Orleans.
I think Nathan wants to be the queen of New Orleans, but he just can't. He don't have the right parts, you know what I mean?
That and I can't compete with Sean for the part. So
I don't know. You could probably fit in pretty well down there on Bourbon.
Now you got to tell me, everybody, because I work for an airline, and we ship out crawfish and gator and everything coming out of the sweet place, New Orleans, right? So we get all this stuff coming in, and I get a lot of Cajun people that moved here to Indiana, the Hoosier State, and they say Kunash.
Oh, no, you see, just like you have your different levels of Italians, you have your different levels of Cajun. Yeah. You have your Cajuns, your Coonasses, and then you have your French paupers. Cajun is right in the middle. And, you know, Cajuns look down on the Coonass.
Can I be a Coonass? Because I'm from the Hoosier State. I'm out here in the cornfields. Can I be a Coonass?
And everybody looks down on Sean anyway, so.
No, you're not a Coonass until you're out in the cane fields. Same. We don't have cornfields here. We have cane fields.
There you go. But you down in the haunted bayou, lady. You got all kinds of stories to tell us tonight, yeah?
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Born in the most haunted city in the United States, New Orleans. We call it Nolens.
The little haunted place in the Union, right?
Most haunted place in America.
Very, very cool.
Is there some sort of Cajun snack that would be appropriate for now that a weaker should be having?
I think we should. She should have sent us gator meat. Gator meat.
Well, you know what the saying is in the Cajuns with the animals, right? We kill it, we eat it, wear it, or put it on the wall.
Sean, so what you're saying is,
Sean has
the
same
thing. Maylene, you want to put me on the wall, is what you're saying.
I was gonna
say, if you're not wearable or edible, yeah, you'd be on the wall, Chef.
He's edible.
Sean had that same list of rules for his ex-girlfriend, so it was
my ex-wife too. I can't seem to get her head on the wall, though, Maylene. You know what I mean? I try, but I give up.
Maybe you need some of my head shrinking powder.
See, that's it. That's it. And that's what we're gonna talk about tonight. We're gonna talk about a little voodoo. We're going to talk about a little crazy ghost down there in the bayou. Won't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Let's see. I'm a third generation spirit medium. My grandmother and my great-grandmother were what the Cajuns were called traiteur. That's a seer or a healer.
Yeah.
Goes back many generations to when my family first came here from Canada. You know, we were kicked out by the British. They didn't like all the voodoo and, you know, the way we cooked up the jambalaya and stuff like that. So they sent us on boats down here.
All them Canucks, man.
So, I've been on a lot of investigations and even done a couple of television shows, and now I got my first book out.
Yeah.
And that book would be?
Spirits of Louisiana, Experiences of a Cajun Medium.
Now, tell us some of these experiences, Lenu.
Well,
we're all trying to talk Cajun right now.
And none of us can do it, except maybe Gowan. I think Gowan might be able to pull it off.
Everybody's trying to talk.
Just think of a New Yorker, because the New York accent and the Cajun accent is a lot alike. You know, we do a lot of darling and, you know, oh my God. And
yeah.
Gonna have ourselves some gumbo.
Yeah, that on the bayou.
Well, you know, I get a lot of calls down here for mostly the really bad spirits. I've encountered a few demons in my time.
Yeah.
And we use a lot of, like the way my grandmother taught me, you know, we use a lot of herbs and candles for ceremonies, but it's not voodoo. That's the point I'm getting across to my readers, is it's not voodoo. You know, you hear voodoo associated with New Orleans a lot, but New Orleans was built by the French propers. It wasn't really built by the Cajuns. The Cajuns lived on the bayous and on the Mississippi River. And what they did was they mixed Catholicism with some of the voodoo they were learning from the Haitians that had settled down there. And you put the Catholicism with the voodoo, and it comes up with a secret Cajun society called the Cadu.
The Cadu.
Cadu.
Okay.
And so, it's a little prayer to the saints and a little, you know, reading of the tea leaves. And, you know, if you wake up in the morning, first thing you don't want to see on your front porch is a black rose.
Ah.
How do you get a black rose?
Put the hoodoo on you.
How do you get a black rose?
They dye it. It's a special dye that we use, and we dye the rose black.
Yeah.
And that means that somebody has been around to the traitor and then put a spell on you.
Now
listen, Maylene, I got a baby girl on the way. I got stuff going on at work. We got a big project happening. Could you put some sweet hoodoo, or not hoodoo, some sweet voodoo on me and Jason and Nathan? Could you give us something like that? Give us some good luck stuff on your side?
I will burn some white candles and some green candles for you, definitely.
I appreciate it, baby.
No problem.
Now, when you go down on these cases in New Orleans, you know what? Our minds have been in the gutter all night, darling. Let me rephrase that. when you interact with these cases down on the bayou, are there like cases that are basically going on in people's homes or out in the swamps, or how does it?
A lot of times it's people calling me to their homes, you know, and I tell you, 90% of the time, it's because there are things going on in the home because somebody has opened a door without realizing it. So most of the time, it's not good things. It's not, you know, grandpa that's come back to check on me kind of stuff. It's usually bad things because a lot of people down here, they want to play, they want to dabble in their occult. They don't realize you can't do that. Because you can't just, you know, open up a door to the light. When you open up a door, the light and the dark can come in. And usually what happens is that dark comes in and they don't know it.
You see that, Gowan? Stop playing around and opening doors. See that?
Right.
Now, Maylene, I got to ask real quick.
Mm-hmm.
When you do this kind of spiritual stuff and you open up these dark doors, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Are you protected by your beliefs, or is it just free for all?
No, I'm definitely protected. I have ceremonies that I do before I go, you know, and check out any of this stuff. I do now tell you, when I go out, there are times, like I'll give an example, a case I went on where, you know, I never let them tell me
what's going on, what happened in this location or anything. But example, I went on this case near Alexandria, Louisiana, you know, it's a lady way back up in the woods, and I started walking near this house, and I started getting really bad chest pains, really, yeah. really bad, you know, like I had to back off, it hurt so bad. And, you know, come to find out when I start talking to the client about it, well, somebody had died of a heart attack in that house. And there was a lot of bad stuff going on in the situation. People had been done wrong and treated bad. And it wasn't a ghost, but it's just the evil that can lurk around when you get to dealing with things like that.
Right.
And, like, you know, opening up a Ouija board.
Yeah.
That's, you know, like I said, people think that, you know, they can get the Ouija board out and they can talk to Grandpa or, you know, Uncle John that died 2 years ago. But you open that door and you don't know what can come through on that. Then you got to call somebody in like me to take care of the situation.
Now, see, girl, that's one of the conversations me and the co-host here, Demon Hunter, have had since we started this show about Ouija boards. You know what I'm saying? People said they had activity happen at their house. So I went out to their house and I told them, I said, well, let's recreate the scene. So they play with the Ouija board and I'd get the activity that was happening. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I believe, now this is me, there might be some bad stuff coming through, because in life, you have school teachers, you have the mailman, you have all these nice people, but you also have child molesters, people that hate Christianity, all kinds of nasty filth, right?
Right.
So I believe that's the same stuff. I don't believe that... wait a second. I'm not going to say it. I don't believe in demons. I'm not going to say that. But I believe that you get that stuff through the Ouija board. You know what I mean? But I believe if you believe in a higher power, or you believe
right.
you protect it, you're okay. Is that all right, or no? Am I wrong?
No, you're absolutely right, and that's
don't,
what I'm
don't
saying.
Ever tell,
with, you know,
don't ever tell Sean he's right.
When
we'll have a problem
when
on
I go in when they're having these bad, you know, the bad things are going on, you know, my thing is asking for the white light of the Holy Spirit to protect me and always doing a blessing in the house. I always, you know, I come at it from a spirituality point of view.
Right.
Whereas, you know, you have a lot of mediums that, you know, I don't tell the future, and I don't do things like that. I'm like Demon Hunter. I deal with the bad stuff that people have left in, you know, let into their life.
Right. Right. So, now, that's something as a ghost hunter, because I've been doing this for over 13 years now as a ghost hunter. And you know what? I deal with bad stuff, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I get EVPs tell me to rot in hell and all kinds of bad stuff. And then I get good ones too. Little girls asking for the mommy, stuff like that. I mean, when do you know you're dealing with a dark force? You know what I'm saying? When do you know that?
I get a feeling immediately. I get a feeling immediately. I went into this house, taped an episode for a television show in the South down on the bayou, and, you know, I had heard a little girl laughing, and she was talking to me in French, and, you know, I was almost convinced that, you know, tell me 5 years old, I was 5 years old, and, you know, I died of yellow fever, and I'm hearing this, and I'm hearing it in a child's voice, and she's speaking to me in Cajun. But dig a little deeper, and I find out that the homeowner had been dabbling in witchcraft and the occult, and going even so far as to going into trances. And you got to realize that just as, you know, I'm not going to tell you Satan himself, but Satan has the ability to come into people's lives in many different forms. He's a form changer. He can come to you how you can relate to him. And so
right.
there are times that I have encountered demons pretending to be something else.
Yeah.
Sean has encountered that too. In fact, he got married once, and
hey, Maylene, come on, can you help me?
Yeah, you wanted to go away. Sean, I got some hot foot powder.
Sean,
I need the ex-wife to go away. Come on, give me some of that mojo, baby.
We warned you there was something wrong, Sean, when you were told you had to sign the marriage license in your blood. So,
where was
never,
you, Maylene?
That's never a good sign. Never a good sign. Don't sign nothing in blood.
See, that's what I'm saying.
Now, let me make sure I'm saying this right. The Cadu. You're a practicing Cadu. But do you follow other religious forms? I mean, you said it's a cross between Catholicism and voodoo. Do you have involvement with the church or anything like that?
I am an ordained minister, and I'm a spiritualist. It's non-denominational. I don't promote any denomination. And actually, the only part of the voodoo that's involved in this is, you know, the candle lighting and things that could be considered spiritual that the church would do as well.
Hey, Maylene, I got to tell you, I got a St. Jude candle burning right now.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the patron saint of lost causes and favors and stuff like that. How much belief do you put in that kind of stuff, like the candles with Jesus and Mother Mary and St. Jude, stuff like that?
I don't really put a lot into that because I believe that, you can, like, for example, I burn a white candle. That's a candle of peace. And as I'm burning the white candle, you know, I can pray. I don't really espouse the candles being burned under anybody's face or name or sign because I believe in direct communication with the Creator.
So when you're even practicing Candu, you don't have to ask Papa Lugba to speak to move on to the next world to speak?
No.
Okay.
Like I said, 90% of the stuff I do is evil. You know, it's like
no. So 90%
of the I got this 90% reputation for you got bad stuff in your house, call Malin.
Right. Hey, Malin.
90% of the stuff you deal with, Malin, is evil. Not 90% of the stuff you do. Because
no, I don't do no evil, no.
Just making that clear before we go on.
Oh, Maylene, you do evil. I seen them shots of you on YouTube, you know, wearing them lingerie and stuff. I seen it.
Oh, you didn't see that on me? No.
Yeah, I gotta get her number after the show.
That was not me.
She gonna put a voodoo hex on the G&D show, man.
No, Sean, just you.
Remember, Maylene, that's
Nathan.
Put a voodoo
hex on at least part of me.
Remember, that's Nathan and Jason.
You're talking about your ex-wife a while ago. I got a good one for you because it's the first time I ever encountered a demon spirit was my first husband.
Really?
And I'm not talking about him himself, but I was sleeping. And I was in a deep sleep, and all of a sudden sat up in the bed and saw my front door open up and a dark figure walk in and turn towards me, and I just instantaneously, I said, you can't stay here. You got to get out. And that thing looked at me and it said, I'm in, and I'm staying in.
Yeah.
And I fought that demon for another year, and do you know when I divorced that man? Gone. It was
really?
Gone. Oh, yeah, there are certain people that attract that kind of stuff to them.
Well, I'm telling you, that's what I'm telling you. I need some voodoo magic because my ex-wife drives me nuts.
It's can do magic, Sean. Can do. It's so you've gone into these houses. You've dealt with demons. You've battled with them. You've had them in your home. You live down in Louisiana now with your current husband. is, or I should say, I hate using the word current husband. It sounds like you're getting ready to find a new one. But
No, this is it. I waited 32 years for this one to come back around, so this is it.
Does he practice in the same belief system as you?
Yes, he does. He does. He's very supportive of it, and he's seen the things that I do, and he sees every day when I tell him, I have a judgment about something, I have a gut feeling about something, this is not good, or this is going to happen, and so he's seen it for himself. He's very supportive.
So does he go out on cases with you, or do you work with a group? He loves to.
I think a lot of times he thinks he's going to protect me, but I end up being the one that's doing the protecting.
Right. Now, you know what? I've been on a lot of cases, man. I've been on a lot of cases. I went to a lot of places. I've seen things get thrown through the air. I see nothing happen at all. And I've seen ghosts appear. And, as a ghost hunter, I'm not a demonologist. I'm nothing like that. I try to get the facts. Why are you here? What are you doing? Who are you? Stuff like that. What do you do when you go out on investigations? What do you ask for?
First thing I want to know is it, good, bad, or medium?
I thought you were the medium.
I am. But I want to know what the level of the spirit is. And I want to know the truth. That's the bad thing is that these people that have come out and ask you to investigate their home, a lot of times they're holding facts back from you. They won't tell you, I did a seance or I did this. I went on one in New Orleans not long ago on the West Bank. And, New Orleans is, really hard for me to go down there since Katrina because there's spirits everywhere since Katrina. I mean, it's floating spirits, especially in the areas where they got a lot of water. The military bases down there right now are just everywhere. It's people that they weren't expecting to die. It was a sudden tragic death, and they're looking for safe havens. So they're hanging around at the military bases down in Belchase. There's a naval station. They're hanging around at fire stations, police stations, because it was just really something quickly, and a lot of them don't realize that they need to go. They have a place to go, and they don't realize, and they're looking for help. And so I went down to this place on West Bank, and I was expecting for it to be this type of thing that, it's right next to the industrial canal, a lot of water in that area. It ended up that the young couple that called me down there, they had been dealing in some really bad things.
Right.
And the young lady had her mother's ashes in the house, and, some stuff was going on. She had taken the ashes out and taking them to somebody else's house. The stuff got really, really bad. The activity was really high. She brought the mother's ashes back in, and everything kind of calmed down. So she got, what's going on here? Well, the mother was protecting. That's a protective spirit.
Right.
But that's the one thing that I tell investigators, you really got to dig deep, because they don't want to give up that information. They don't want to tell you, I dabbled a little and I did a seance or I called something for. They don't want to tell you that. And a lot of times it comes back to that. Now, there's historical, there's always going to be historical stuff.
Now, Maylene. Maylene, I got some questions from the chat room, lady.
Sure.
One cat says, have there been any physical manifestations that you've had to deal with? And then the other question is, are spirits, demons, easy to give their malevolence level?
Are demon spirits easy to...
Yeah,
demon
I don't understand.
Slash
it's
spirit.
I guess it's asking, is it easy to tell their malevolent level? I'm not exactly sure what the question is.
Is it easy to tell that they are evil spirits?
Yeah.
When to somebody that's untrained, no, it's not easy to tell. Because like I said, they can manifest themselves in whatever way they can relate to you. In other words, you know, you hear a child talking, you don't automatically think evil, right?
Right.
Okay, but, you know, if that's the way for them to get closer to you, because if they manifest themselves as a child, then you're thinking, oh, gentle spirit, you know, no problem, then that thing can attach to you. And that's what that I find is that they attach to people who don't really know how to handle these types of things.
Right.
I've seen these spirits move from place to place. Well, you know, I moved out of that house and I'm still having problems because it attached to you.
Okay.
Now, I got to tell you, Maylene, I've been in the houses where you've had disembodied voices scream out, Mommy. This little girl, she said, Mommy. She says a bunch of stuff, you know what I'm saying? But it's a little girl. You can hear her playing with the toys upstairs, stuff like that. How do you know, as just a regular old paranormal investigator, that if that's evil or not? I mean, what signs do you look for?
Provocation. If you start provoking, then the evil is going to manifest. If you a lot of people don't want to provocate. They don't want to provoke the spirits. That's the only way you're going to be able to tell if it's evil or if it is just some little, you know, soul that was taken quickly and are still looking for their mother. I mean, I've had those kind of cases too. But when you provoke, that's when it really comes out.
Hey, Maylene, we're gonna have to wrap up in 1 minute. I was just wondering, Sean, what was the first half of that question that you had before? Sean?
What are you talking about?
You asked two questions. I'm not sure if we got the first one answered.
Well, we were talking about, we talked about are spirits and demons easy to give their malevolence level, and then we talked about have there been any physical manifestations that Melise had dealt with.
Okay. So.
Yes, definitely. So. I've had physical attacks on my physical being before.
Well,
so how do you know,
Melise? Do you feel drained or what happens?
From anger, you're saying?
Yeah, do you feel like you've been drained when they really attack you? Do you feel like you just drained?
Oh, yeah. I've lost consciousness before.
Oh, man.
Yeah, if I deal with a really strong spirit, I will lose consciousness.
Well, Maylene, we're going to have to wrap up, but I want to shout out this again. It's Spirits of Louisiana. It's The Experiences of a Cajun Medium by Maylene Leneau, but it's spelled with an X. And
hopefully we'll be seeing you real soon.
Yeah, hopefully we'll get down there to Louisiana because we want to see you. And you can check that out at strategicbookpublishing.com/spiritsofLouisiana.html. There's going to be a link to it on the website. You can always find it on our past guest page. So folks, check it out. Definitely a read you want to check out. Maylene, can you hang on the line while we wrap up?
Sure. And you guys, come on down.
Oh,
yeah, baby, yeah.
Sean, it's that time where we have to thank everybody tonight for joining us for the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show.
I guess, guys. Hey, and be sure to check out our website at www.ghostanddemon.com and log on to our forums because we want to hear from you.
And don't forget, we're switching over our archives to Planet Paranormal. So, if you want to check out the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show, our number one place to find our archives will be at Planet Paranormal. But you can also check us out at Podomatic, Podcast Alley, iTunes, Mediafly, Podbean, Blueberry, Podcast Pickle, the Para X Radio Network, the Podfeed community, and the Black Vault Radio Network. And don't forget to join us next week when Josh Howley from Tombstone Ghost Hunters will be back to tell us some more stories about dealing with ghosts in the city of the ghosts of, I guess that was Doc Holliday and Wyatt Earp. So we'll be back next week with that.
Hey, don't go changing ghost hunters. You know we won't. We love you. Have a good week, guys.
Good night, everybody.
Bye.
Night, Jason.
Good night, Nathan.
So say good night to the bad guy.
Well, I don't like what's where I work. I'm wasting my precious time. I'm working day in and slaving day out, and I'm losing my worried mind. I'm running my poor ass ragged, and I'm living from day to day. The boss man telling me what to do just makes me want to say to those heathens and hooligans, you won't get the hell out of here. Bother someone else for a while now, brother, I can use a beer. And I don't need this, I wanna make this perfectly clear. Listen up, heathens and hooligans, you wanna get the hell out of here.
Yeah.